Welcome to the Meat Company.
You're listening to From the Butcher's Block with hosts Jason Hendrick and Michael Buckley, broadcasting from the Ventura Meat Company in Ventura, California.
All right, welcome back to From the Butcher's Block. This is Michael Buckley to my left. I'm Jason Hendrick, the hungry man from Everybody's Hungry. And we are broadcasting live from the Ventura Meat Company in Ventura, California.
Indeed we are.
Michael, we've been talking in our past episodes and segments about how the shop came about, some ways to navigate through the shop and sustainability, questions to ask when they step up to the case. In this segment, we want to focus a little bit on specific cuts and some things that you carry in the case, maybe even what some market trends are right now that you're seeing and why you feel the market is trending a certain way. So give us a little overview. Not everyone has the perspective of the case right now. We don't have a camera on the case.
Right.
We do have some regular people who are listening and watching that know the case. Give me a layout, though. What do we find in your case? And maybe even some unique items that people wouldn't expect.
Largely beef, pork, chicken.
Beef, pork, chicken. The big three.
Yeah, they're the big three. And
just because you're going to see me chewing in a second.
No, it's fine.
One of the items I am enjoying right now is pork. From your case, it's a pork butt that you've been simmering in the crock pot.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a pretty staple item, right?
Absolutely. You know, even if you don't see pork butt in the case, we've got it largely because we use it for a lot of different production things. You know, we like to make our own sausage here. You know, the ground pork's made fresh. So we use pork butt for a myriad of
sausage
things.
As a term is very generic. Sausage is any kind of ground meat in a casing, right?
Well, you know, yes and no. There are people that order ground pork as sausage, and it took me a minute to learn that. You know, I need some sausage, and it's like, well, what flavor would you like? Give me some ground pork. So it is a very vague terminology. So, you know, pork butt, we always have it. I mean, unless something has come up and somebody bought 14 pounds from us or something like that, which is another thing to consider when you come here. If we're out of some of those staples, like chicken breast or something like that, somebody bought us out. That's what happened. I mean, we've been doing this long enough that I know how much chicken breast I need for tomorrow. I know how much pork butt I need for tomorrow. We get delivery 6 days a week. So, you know, it doesn't happen often. But if you were to come in and we're out of bacon, somebody loaded in and we didn't see it coming.
Sure.
So those are kind of some of the nuances about what's in the case, what's not in the case. It comes back to demand. We put in the case what we know we can sell. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't turn away from a steady revenue stream. We always have back stock of chicken. I can't put all the chicken that I have in the case. I need to make room for the beef and the pork.
With a little higher margin.
Well,
but also maybe can I be so
away.
Safe to assume that some of the more perishable items that aren't going to move as quick?
Well, chicken's always going to be more perishable than red meat.
Okay.
Beef and pork are going to keep longer than chicken will. And that's something for people to remember when they buy meat. It doesn't matter if you're buying it from me or not. Chicken's going to go bad first. Fish is going to go bad first. Use it first. There's a lot of reasons for that, and it's really a deep conversation. But keep that in mind. You know, if you're buying a pound of ground beef and you're buying some chicken breasts, you know, if you don't think you're going to get to the chicken breast within the next couple of days, then freeze them as soon as you get home.
Maybe just come back to the shop more frequently.
Well, that's the other side of it. We're here 7 days a week for a reason, and I try to be that place where you know, maybe you do want to get all your week's worth of shopping out of the way, and I understand that approach. I like that approach. But if you're if it's within reason and you live close enough, you know, if it's going to go bad, let it go bad here.
Sure. Why take on that expense as a consumer? Obviously, again, for selfish reasons because of my affiliation and relationship with you in general. But we don't want the shop owner to take that loss either, but better the shop owner who already has some margin created into the price of the product than the consumer who's going to just have ultimately a straight up waste.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because nothing disappoints me more than thinking that somebody has purchased something that they couldn't end up using. And we try to do our best to help educate people about, you know, what's the shelf life here? What am I looking at? When should I use this? And to be quite honest with you, the hours that we're open, that's why we're open as much as we are. is to be more accommodating in terms of maintaining freshness. And you don't, you know, if you want to buy, you know, a pound of bacon and have it split four ways and put some of it in the freezer, that's fine.
You're but the bacon really will be here, I, for the most part, it'll be here the next time you come in the shop. If you want to space that out a little better.
Indeed.
And you can taste the freshness. Again, I'm over here mowing down on some of this pork butt that's been in the crock pot.
Yeah, yeah.
But the depth of flavor, the richness, the kind of true pork essence is identifiable versus something that's going to sit there in a case for 10 days.
So we deal with shrinkage. And shrinkage is important.
Dare I go there?
Don't.
Thank you, sir.
It's a family show.
Thanks for relieving me of that responsibility.
Normally I wouldn't, but yeah. Shrinkage, what we're talking about is, you know, when meat sits in your refrigerator, it loses moisture at some rate. Now, if it's in the freezer, that's not going to be as prevalent, but in the refrigerator, most assuredly. We deal with it with the beef mostly because we're buying dry-aged beef, and the longer it sits in our fridge, the less weight it actually ends up being. So, you know, it behooves us to move it as quickly as we can to make sure that we're selling as close to the poundage that we're buying as possible. I'm not sure that I see the real value in, you know, really loading in from a consumer standpoint, because there's no volume incentive here. We're a retailer.
We're broaching on a conversation that I think begs to be had as well. What about a person that comes in the shop and they have a specific item that they either A, know you carry, or they have in mind?
Yep.
And you don't have it. Maybe it's 30 minutes before you close and they really, really wanted some flank steak, but you don't have it.
Right.
How does that affect your approach to the customer?
Well, we're good enough at knowing why somebody wants flank steak. You know, what is flank steak? Well, it's hot, it's fast, it's flavorful. It doesn't require a lot of, you know, prep work. You could take a flank steak that's of relative quality, throw it on your grill with some salt and pepper, kiss it on both sides, slice it up. You could use it for just about anything. Tacos, fajitas, put it on top of your salad, carne asada. There's a lot of different directions you can go. But we're good enough to know why you're asking for flank steak. So even if we don't have that, we've got something relative. And we're getting to a point where we're able, it's a good discussion for us to have. If you're willing to have it with us to go, you know, let's talk about flank steak for a second, because gosh, on a cow, there's just not a whole lot to go around.
Sure.
And when you're trying to source meat sustainably, it comes back to what I said earlier. You can't be everything to everybody. We're not going to have...
There's only two tenderloins per cow.
That's right.
You know, a couple of briskets, and
yeah,
that's you're limited.
Mostly what there's a wealth of is ground beef, and that's why, you know, we largely always have ground beef, unless, like I said, unless somebody comes in and buys an insane amount, throws off our trending data. So it's something that, like I said before, I would love for the answer to that, do you have blank, to always be yes. But it just can't be. Sustainability is more important to us than, yes, we have that every single time you come in. I feel like if we were going to be that type of a store, and that if that was our resolve, was to always have those things that people just identify with, then maybe we should start selling candy bars.
Sure. Now, this stream of thought is playing right into some of the specifics we were getting into with the case as well. Mm. We talked about chicken. Chicken is going to give you chicken breasts, yep, quarters, and thighs.
Yeah.
What are the forms of chicken that you typically would offer in this shop, but also that you think are kind of a universal trend for other shops?
Yeah. I love that question, actually, because chicken, people have more opinions on chicken than anything else. Beef's easy. Grass-fed beef. Ruminant herbivore. Done. Exclamation point. Chicken gets a little more hairy. Now, as far as the cuts that we sell, I like to sell the whole leg.
And when people, we say whole leg, that's
the leg quarter,
mm-hmm, which includes the thigh
and the drumstick. And the reason I put those in the case is because, you know, sometimes I would try stocking thighs and it seemed like everybody wanted drumsticks. And I would throw drumsticks out there and everybody wanted thighs. So it was let's try and accommodate both. And it comes back to, like I said, about the pork chops. You know, we'll cut them to order. It's better to leave it as a whole piece and divvy them up as you see fit. It's better to buy the leg quarter. And then that way, if people are like, well, I like thighs, give me a second. You know, I can cut those thighs out. I can be more accommodating by just carrying the leg quarter. And, you know, surprise, surprise, people buy a lot of leg quarters. So that's very good for us.
And just to bring it back to my own personal realm, because every now and then I got to focus back on me.
Indeed.
We go through a whole chicken a week, which, you know, accommodates all those cuts.
Absolutely.
We roast the chicken. We can break it down in our own manner for whatever type of meal, you know, structure that we want to provide.
Absolutely. And it makes more sense to me to go that route. But, you know, consumers aren't always willing to go that far. And everybody's not only on a monetary budget, but on a time budget, too. You know, that's something to consider. And maybe you don't have time to roast a whole chicken.
Sure.
I get it. So then getting to the other pieces of chicken, we carry boneless, skinless chicken breast. And there's a reason that, you know, we go boneless, skinless. Largely, people buy chicken breast because they think it's a healthier option, because they think that fat's bad for them. That's a different conversation.
And we're definitely going to have that as a segment.
So we have to keep
following the show, because we're going to have some of these things in their own finite little realm.
So as far as I'm concerned, if I'm going to sell chicken breasts, it's going to be boneless, skinless, because more often than not, I'm going to be asked to cut the bone out and to take the skin off because there's fat in the skin. So, you know, boneless, skinless chicken breasts, I think this quarter are number two.
Behind?
Ground beef.
Behind ground beef.
Ground beef's always number one.
And some other things that are in the case, you got beef that we talked about, numerous cuts. You're dealing with the primals and the subprimals, not necessarily the portion cuts.
Right.
Again, allowing for the flexibility.
Yep.
But you're doing sausages as well. You got sausages in the house. We're not curing sausages in here.
No.
We look around the shop. We don't have the equipment to cure sausage yet.
No.
But you
different
do have fresh
set
sausage.
Of regulation.
Fresh sausage on the top shelf.
That's right.
What was the kind of driving force behind that?
Well, doing production here allows us to be more accommodating. You know, so if we get to a point on that center cut pork loin where we're getting to the end of it, and, you know, these muscles will taper and they will round off and things like that. Does it make for an even pork chop? What do you do with that?
Sure.
Well, making sausage helps us close that.
And again, the consumer
loop.
Is driving that. There, we've been trained to look for not only like inherent and depth of quality, but visual quality.
Oh, absolutely.
So if the pork chop's not evenly thick across the whole breadth of the pork chop, then it's not as good of a pork chop.
That's right.
But that I say that with a certain level of facetiousness, because you and I would know that there's still
a
lot of quality in meat.
I would eat that. And in a lot of cases, I do. and I'm happy to. But making sausage, making ground beef, doing a lot of the production here in the shop closes the loop, right? So it helps us keep from throwing things away. Now, let's not confuse that with these sausages being end cuts and things like that. I hope that with the video footage that we had of Megan cutting pork butt.
Fairness to Megan, we're going on 20 to 10 right now, Pacific time. She is still hammering
away at
a new cut, a new subprimal.
Been here since 8 this morning. So
and she's got a great grin, and she's actually starting to stage cuts for the camera. She's gravitating to this whole concept of being behind the butcher's block or showing you stuff from the butcher's block,
right,
just for our own personal plug.
Absolutely.
We didn't even have to give her any instruction.
Right.
I think that speaks volumes to what the shop's all about right there.
Well, it really does, actually. It's complicity. Is that a word? Complicit?
Well, you tell us what it means and maybe it's a word.
Well, she's complicit in the operation. She's in.
She's in. She has invested in this operation.
Absolutely.
I can vouch for her on a consumer level. I've had a couple of stints behind the counter myself for selfish reasons of trying to understand what you go through and get a better perspective of what it means to be the butcher shop in Ventura County.
Right.
So I can totally vouch for Megan.
Hey, right on.
Hands down,
at least
friends.
One of us can. So what I was getting at with the sausage is you could see her cutting the pork belly and the pork butt. So we're not using, you know, stuff that we can't do anything else with to make our sausages. We really are using the highest quality cuts of pork. And a lot of pork, you know, the big brand sausage producers, yeah, well, you only use the highest quality. Well, then how did you get that price so low?
Yeah. That's a conversation you'd like to have directly with the person who made the statement, right?
Well, indeed, indeed. But the sausages, I'm actually really, really proud of. They're unique in so many ways. And we get to this point here at the shop where it's like people go, well, you should advertise that. Well, where do you even start to advertise the advantages of the sausages? First of all, no MSG. No artificial preservatives, no gluten, no sugar, natural hog casing. We don't use synthetic hog casings or anything like that. You know, guys.
And a great ratio of lean meat to fat
and
flavor.
You have to have fat in your sausages. You know, and people want us to make poultry sausages. And again, it's the perception that things that are leaner are better for me. That's another show. But, you know, flip over your label on your poultry sausages. It's mostly fat. Sausages require fat. They really do. And that's the whole point of sausages. So I'm really happy to report that our sausages not only taste good, but as far as a healthy perspective, you're not going to do better than what we make here.
Sure.
No doubt about it.
And we're getting close to our time for the night. We want to thank everyone who's been viewing and listening this whole time. To wrap up kind of the navigation of the case and the shop in general, we've talked about people having a good goal and focus of what they want to achieve with their meal.
Yeah.
When we look at the case, we've got your big three, your chicken, your pork, and your beef.
Right.
You're getting into the realm of sausages, using some of those waste cuts that would normally just go in the trash, and you're turning it into something delicious.
Yeah.
You can get wild game upon request.
Yep.
You also have access during the seasonal and the holidays for unique bird, goose, and turkey and pheasant.
Absolutely.
You've got some interesting game, sometimes like lamb and that comes in.
Yep.
So you've got the diversity in the case that allows people to be creative in their own kitchen.
Sure.
And to create a conversation and education about the meat that's available to them.
Definitely. And I think one thing that to consider, if you're looking to do business with a place like us, and again, the choice is yours. We're not going anywhere. But if you are doing something special, planning is never a bad idea. We generally always have bacon and the, you know, the staples, if you will. But if it's something that you really want to make sure that you want to get from us, you know, letting us know 1 or 2 days ahead of time,
it's not a bad idea.
It's really not a bad idea. You know, I would love to say, every time you walk through the doors, we're going to have bacon. But, you know, curveballs get thrown at us. They do. So,
And that doesn't lead itself to or lend itself to the highest quality either. If that's something that has been sitting there for 2 days because somebody didn't want it, then you don't want it just because you walk through the door.
That's exactly
right. And I think
that,
you know, gets back to the heart of the Ventura Meat Company. And what we're going to be conveying through the scope of these shows is, how do you navigate through the best quality, understand what's in the shop? We're going to be talking about all kinds of topics of sustainability and supply chain and marketability. So we got a lot to come. We want to thank everyone who's been watching and listening so far. This is the third segment.
Both of you.
This is the third segment of our launch from the Butcher's Block right here at the Ventura Meat Company. A couple other housekeeping items that I want to make sure we get out there. I forgot to get out in the last two segments. We're going to be using hashtag Butcher's Block Show from here on out. You got comments on Twitter, on Facebook, or Instagram, and you want to put up some stuff that tags us in the show, use hashtag Butcher's Block Show. We're going to be found on Google Plus and Google Plus Hangouts on Air. That's where our streaming is going to be focused right now. But we, again, want to get people involved in the conversation. So as we move forward, Q&A is going to be key.
That was all Klingon to me, by the way.
We're getting there. Don't worry, Michael.
I
got a great engineer on the back of the table here. He's going to be helping us with all of it. So again, the show is from the Butcher's Block, broadcasting live here once a month from the Ventura Meat Company. We'll be finding our shows on iTunes as we move forward with these podcasts. Use hashtag Butcher Block Show. That's B-U-T-C-H-E-R-S, because this is from the Butcher's Block. Thanks, everyone, for listening and tuning in tonight. We'll see you next time. This is Michael Buckley, owner-operator of the Ventura Meat Company to my left. I'm Jason Hendrick, the hungry man from Everybody's Hungry. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
This has been From the Butcher's Block, broadcasting from the Ventura Meat Company in Ventura, California. You can find past shows at everybodyshungry.org/butchersblock and through iTunes. Follow us on social media through the hashtag Butcher's Block Show.